between, what's the difference, George, between a hacker and a cracker? What was that? One gets sin and the other doesn't. Okay. So we'll get back on that tomorrow night. My friends, tonight's theme is back to school. What did I say? Back to school. Let us pray. Eternal Father, we come before your presence even now, O God, as your awaiting congregation, dear Lord, sit in their seat, waiting in anticipation, dear Lord, of your blessing. Grant unto them their heart's desire tonight, as your word proclaim, and let Jesus Christ be high and lifted up. I ask you, dear Lord, even now, that I may decrease so that thou may increase. Take all the blessing and all the honor and all the glory, O God, for this mercy I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let all the saints say, amen and amen. There's an adage that say, a man is known by the company he keep. There's an English idiom that say, birds of feather flock together. The interpretation is simple. Similar people go to the same places and they do the same things. When a person has become a Christian, God requires of that individual what God is. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be he holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. And as far as the Bible is concerned, holiness is not an option. And if you are a Christian, therefore, it is not an exception to this call. This call is not just to the pastor or to the elders or to the board members. This call is to every person who calls themselves a child of God. No matter what's your agenda, no matter what's your education level, no matter what's your economic level, every Christian today is called to be holy. Why? Because holiness is freedom from all sin. Holiness is complete purity. Holiness is important for fellowship with God. Holiness is important for effective service to God. Holiness is important for the assurance of your salvation. Thought somebody say amen. George Knight, a professor of the church history in the SDA theology summary of the Andrews University, in his book, I Used to Be Perfect, seek to clarify justification and sanctification. In taking us back to school, he said, contrary to what was previously taught, that both justification and sanctification are a work of a moment and a work of a lifetime. It's like a horse and a carriage. Both go hand in hand. both, of course, comes from the grace of God. The Bible is comparing justification and sanctification. Submit in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Justification. And to cleanse us from not some, but from all unrighteousness. That's sanctification. Now understand this, my friend. Christ does not justify unless he is sanctified. Are you listening to me? And this is the basic and essential teachings of the Bible. In addition to holiness unto God, a supreme challenge that faced the one who deserved and accept a salvation offer. How do I know this? Because holiness demands faithfulness to one spouse. Hello? Why? Because marriage is holy. Holiness demands faithfulness to returning your tithes and your offering. Why? Because tithes and offering is holy. Holiness demands obedience to the Ten Commandments. Why? Because God's Ten Commandment is holy. Holiness demands acceptance of the seventh-day Sabbath. Why? Because the seventh-day Sabbath is holy. And today, my friends, the church needs youths who are Christians. Youths who attend church because they want to and they love God. Youths who have a relationship with God. And even though the Bible purports holiness, concerning holiness is a choice. Hello? Thought somebody didn't get that. Let me read that again. And even though the Bible purports holiness as a consecration, holiness is a choice. To this the Apostle Peter asserts, wherefore, gird up your loins of your minds. Ye have a journey to go, a race to run, a war to accomplish, and a great work to do. As the traveler and the laborer gird up their loins and loosen their garments, that they may be more ready and expeditious in their business, so do you in your minds and your affection. Grip them, gather them in, let them not hang loose. Loosen yourself from all that would hinder you. Extinct value tends to predominate. Our young people have a narrow focus and a broadened perspective. They say prayer is not essential. Bible study is boring. The youths are not caring. The meek and quiet spirit that Peter talks about, it is not practice. Alert and think straight, my friends.
Hello?
This is no time to be fooling around with your salvation, my friends. In 1 Peter, one of the apostles who was crucified upside down seemed to define between God's children and the children of the world is summed up in one word, and that word is obedience. It is the spirit of obedience that gives you the impulse to move forward. It is the spirit of obedience that keeps you away from that which defines you of your past. Peter is asking you kindly not to slip back into your old ways of doing evil. Why? Because you know better. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Let us read this together, church. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. First Peter chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts of your minds, of your ignorance. John referred to the former lusts as lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. And if there is anything that destroys the youth of our church, it is three forms of evil. First, our sinful world is comprehend under three heads: the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is the desire which resides in the flesh, not the desire of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, it is seen in the Christian who still drink the liquor. The lust of the flesh, it is seen in the preacher who still hide and smoke when there is no one around. The lust of the flesh, it is seen in the immoral youth. The lust of the flesh includes all unchaste desire, thoughts, words, actions, fornication, adultery, rape, incest, and sodomy. The lust of the flesh also includes intemperance in eating, hello, and drinking. Glutton and drunkenness, revealing and all sensual pleasures of life. Then follow the lust of the eyes. The eyes are delighted with treasuries. Riches and rich possessions are the crave by an extend eye. It does not, of course, mean that the eye is never to be gratified. it is not sinful to find pleasure in obedience object of beauty. The lust of the eyes of one founded in glutton and glints and shows. The lust of the eyes lead one into living a life of dishonesty. The lust of the eyes is jealousy. The lust of the eye is curiosity. Hello? The wise men declare, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of are never satisfied. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. And then there is pride of life. The word pride here is used, it means parade or boasting. Always trying to put on a show. Extravagant. Pretentious. John concludes after comparing the three forms of evil. Assert, the Bible says, and the world pass away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abide forever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. All these things are continually fading and perishing. They are like a display which assume the eyes for a moment and then disappear forever. But the man who do the will of God abide for eternity. And Hebrew name virgin remains forever. The Message Bible is set for eternity. Our challenge, therefore, as we near the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. When the grace of God called a sinner, that grace called that sinner to holiness. The grandmother of a Christian is not in the church or is not in the pastor. Augustine, a church father of the early church, say, everyone that begots an offspring resembling himself. Let the act of the offspring indicate the similarity of the father. In other words, what I'm saying to you, church, that if we say that we are children of God, then let us do and say the things that reflect that we are his children. Paul adds in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may be proved what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, if our challenge is holiness, there are several things we must do. One, choose our friend wisely. Be careful where you go and who you go with. Take a good look at your wardrobe and remove those things that brings about unholiness. Use a discretion in when you're reading books and listening to music or watching different programs on your television. Hello? Be alert to that which endanger spirituality. Exercise self-control. Walk in the fear of God. And now, if God asks us to be holy, it is not something we cannot do. Hello? Why? Because God will never ask us to do something he knows we cannot do. You will notice, my friends, that being holy is essential. It is not asking, it is commanded. And please note, my friends, that the focus point of holiness is not how you keep the Sabbath. Holiness is not faithfulness to church duties. Holiness is not in a diet. Holiness is not just returning your tithes and your offering. Then what is holiness? Holiness is a choice. Why? Because the scribes and the Pharisees were very good at practicing these things. Somebody know what I'm talking about here. Hello? They praise themselves. They behave as if they were superior to every other person. Their motive of holiness was rooted in their action rather than in their attitudes. Their attitudes towards God, their attitudes towards the remnant church, their attitudes towards the doctrine of the Bible. And although God demands that we be holy, we must decide. Hello? It is a choice. And it is a choice that has benefit. It keeps you away. It keeps you close to God. Holiness, it is faithfulness in your life that you live. It gives you peace of mind. It enables one to handle stress. And one day soon, when Jesus comes, it will take you from time to eternity. Hallelujah. I long for that day. William Longstaff wrote, take time to be holy. Speak of the Lord. Abide in his name always. and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who walk and forgetting of nothing, his blessings to seek. Take time to be holy. His word rush on. Speak much time in secret. Much time in secret with Jesus alone. But look to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him where abide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath its control. Thus, led by his spirit, the fountain of love, thou soon shalt be fit for service above. And so tonight, my friends, is it your desire to live a holy life to God? Why not raise your hands? Is this your desire tonight to live a life of obedience to God? If this is your desire, why not stand to your feet, my friends? Tonight, I'm going to make three calls. First, to those individuals who want to recommit their life back to God. For some reason, the whole devil Satan have took hold on you. You once walked with Jesus, but tonight, as a result of the message, you decide in your heart that you want to come clean. You want to recommit your life to God. If this applies to you, why not come to the altar? As we sing the song softly, I am thine, O Lord. My second call is to those individuals who want to live a holy and obedient life to God. Maybe things are not been going right for you. For some reason, you feel like you're drifting away from the presence of God. You want to have that connection with God. If this call applies to you tonight, why not come to the altar? Come, as they sing, come now. Tonight, my last call is to those individuals who want to be ready, who want to be set and have their mind set upon the Holy One of Israel for his second coming. Why not come to the altar even now? Come now. Come now.
But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou.
as I pray for these individuals, as the Spirit moves, anyone else who need to be here tonight, you can come forward. Heavenly Father, your people have responded, O God. They have responded, O God, tonight. Some stating that they want to recommit their life to you. Some, their Father, they have felt as though they're drifting apart from you, O God. I want to ask you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, that you may grant unto these individuals the assurance that you are still there, O Lord. Lord, there are some who came, stated that they want to live a holy and obedient life unto you, O Lord. Lord, there are some who came stating that they want to be ready when you should return for your second coming. I ask you now in the name of Jesus Christ that may you grant unto them, dear Lord, their heart's desire, O God. Not only the individuals who came forward, Lord, but then we even know, Lord, that there are some who are still in the valley of decision. I ask in the name of Jesus, O God, that tonight when they go to bed, may your Holy Spirit pick their hearts, that they may be convinced and converted, O Lord. Bring them back tomorrow night to hear another word from you. For this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And let all God's people say. We're going to continue to sing. Just remain. Remain.
Just remain where you are. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul
give God thanks tonight for Brother Paul, amen?
Amen.
Not only for Brother Paul, but Sister Tracy, and for Sister Natalie, and Brother Alex, and Brother Jamil, and all the others that would be subsequently used. I feel good as a pastor that I can find my young men and my young women here worshiping God.
Amen.
I don't have to run to get the church board to gather some bail money to bail them out. I don't have to run and go to the police station and put in a word for them. You know, they're here preaching the word of God. And I want you as a church to continue to encourage these folks, not only by saying I support you, you know, young people, but to me the best way that you can support them is by being present. We thank you for your support thus far, and we want to continue to grow even tomorrow night as they share the word of God. This is what God has laid upon their hearts. And you know, every presenter has a message for us. Tonight, the presentation is calling us to holiness. The word of God says that without that, we just ain't going to see God. And I want to challenge those of us who are here tonight. I always count it a privilege whenever, whoever the preacher is, whenever a presentation is made and a call is made for me to draw a little closer to Jesus or to come up a little notch higher or surrender something. To me, that's not for everybody, if you want to put it that way. I see that as for me. And you must see that as for you. That you must see that call as your call. That message is for you as an individual. There's some individual who perhaps may hear it and think, well, okay, well, you know, that's for somebody else, but that's for me. And tonight, he has called me, he has called us to come a little closer. He also said that without that holiness, we just ain't going to see God. I want to challenge you, my brothers and sisters, those of you who have already made your commitment to Jesus, whenever you hear such calls, run. Seek to get closer to God. And for those who have not yet made that commitment, these meetings are not designed for just for show. God is making up his kingdom. And you're not here just because you were trying to be kind to someone and they said, okay, you know, we have some meetings going and we're not come. No. God is saying this is your time. God is saying this is your time. This is the medium I want to use to bring you to a saving knowledge, to help you to get to heaven. I want to challenge those who are here tonight. You have not made a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. You don't know what's lurking. As a matter of fact, if our eyes could just see, we would see the thousands of demons, of wicked angels that are just ready to snuff our lives out. But the angels of God are just holding back, saying, look, I have some meetings going on tonight. I have some meetings going on this week at the Amazing Grace Church. Give them an opportunity. Tonight is your opportunity. I want to challenge you tonight, my friend. If tonight you have not yet made a commitment of your life to Jesus, I know you may be saying that there's so many things I got to put in order. But let me tell you something, friend. If you were to try to do it on your own, I want to tell you that you're going to be around for a very, very long time. And you may never be able to put them in place. Most of us who are here, perhaps for that, except for the exception of those who perhaps were not born into this church, we were like you. And we understood that it's not by might, it was not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. That's why we're here tonight. I want to challenge somebody here tonight. Tonight, you've been thinking. And I say to my church that long before we decided to start these meetings, God was speaking to you. He was telling you, look, the life that you're living right now is not the right life. The way you're relating to your wife is not the right way. The way you're relating to your family is not the right way. The way that you're living and the practices and the habits that you're involved in, that's not what I want for you. And you know that you don't feel contented. And God is saying, look, I have provided these meetings for you to make a start. You cannot solve all the problems, but he has the answer. Amen? And perhaps there's somebody here tonight who wants to say, Jesus, that's me. I want you to come into my life. There's some things going on in my life. There's some things happening around me that I just can't understand them. I don't know. It seems as though everything is going against me. But God is saying tonight, I am in your corner. You've not yet made a commitment to Jesus. You want to step out here right by beside me and say, Pastor, I want to be included in that final prayer because I, one day soon, I would like to make my commitment to Jesus Christ. Why not join me right now? Just waiting for you. Bless you, my sister. Somebody else. You want to say, Pastor, you know, sometime soon, but very soon, I want to make that commitment. Oh, God bless you, my brother. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody else tonight want to say, Jesus, I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I know that you're the only help I know. Everything is not right about my life right now, but you can make it right. And I want to declare my intentions tonight for you to start making things right. You want to join us here tonight as we prepare to have the closing prayer. Why not come? This. Why not come? Even if you're sitting right now, why not get up and come? Right now. As I say that special word of prayer for you, asking God to take charge of your particular situation and to give you the victory that you are in need of. You should not come here tonight and leave here the same way you came. The songwriter says, days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. But what? Burdens are lifted where? At Calvary. Jesus wants you to lift. He wants to lift your burden right now. But you've got to come to him. Who'll be the next person to come just before we close this service tonight? I want to say that special word of prayer tonight. God bless you, my sister. Somebody else needs to come tonight. Prayer is not going to hurt you. It's only going to help you. You know that? Prayer is only going to help you. It's not going to hurt you. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. Dear Jesus, we give you thanks today for those who have heard your voice. Lord, I do not know their particular circumstances, but you do. And Lord, you sent your son, Jesus, down to live on this earth so that sinners might be saved. Lord, whatever situation confronts these individuals tonight, we know, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you to do. And we're glad, Lord, that your blood can wash away every stain, every trace of sin. There's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. And dear God, we come confessing that we've missed the mark. We've all sinned and come short. But we're glad, Lord, that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And Lord, tonight your grace is sufficient for this brother, for his little one, for these two sisters who have come forward today declaring, Lord, that they need your help. Lord, your help is not on the way. It is already here. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering prayer. And Lord, whatever obstacles may be impeding their progress to you, I pray to God that you remove them out of the way, or make a way over or around or through them, so that nothing would stop them from receiving your grace and making that commitment to surrender themselves fully to you. Bless us now to this end. Remember those who are standing here. Remember those who came tonight. Lord, you know the many hearts, the many faces represented here. You know the many challenges that confront them. Lord.
In my soul today.
More glorious and bright than glows in any earthly sky. Than glows in any earthly sky. For Jesus is my light. Oh, there is sunshine,
blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll. When Jesus shows his smiling face, there is sunshine in the soul. There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King. And Jesus listening can hear the songs I cannot sing. Oh, there is sunshine, blessed sunshine, when the peaceful, happy moments roll.